Yesterday's podcast was about the home front during World War II. Russell has done a little virtual tour called London at War, and I just recorded the short introduction that he gives at the start of that virtual tour. Well, for today, I thought I'd double down on that, get a little bit closer to home. I thought I'd talk about the experience of Mary's parents during World War II. Both of them, Charles and Penny, had close shaves during World War II. Penny first, and there's two stories of her experience, as there will be two of Charles's experience. One of them, for Penny, had to do with St. Mary Abbott's, which is the parish church in Kensington. It's a church that I take people into on my Kensington walk. It was bombed in World War II, firebombed, and there are two things that point to that, trace elements of evidence, if you will. One is the rebuilt 1955 roof, and two, on several of the pews, you have to look quite closely. But if you look closely, you can see there's scorch marks from the flames, and in fact, they were sufficiently badly damaged that they had to be repaired. You can see the little patches of wood that were glued back into where the fire had effectively eaten a hole in the pew. Anyway, Penny's connection with all of that is that she was living locally. And like everyone else in the neighborhood, she rushed out to try to fight the flames, to save the church. She was a good storyteller. We'd love to hear the story. It was very powerful. She used Milton's phrase. She spoke of darkness visible, describing what it was like in there, being part of the bucket gang. The flames, the smoke, and most moving of all, she said the organist rushed round and played the organ while they were fighting the flames. The reason for this, of course, was the fire department was there, and the hoses, all that water that was being trained up on the flames in the roof, had that gone down the pipes of the organ, it would have been very damaging. So that was the reason for that. But it's a very powerful, vivid picture. The bucket gangs, the smoke, the darkness, the lurid flames, and the organ music, the organ being played. Her second incident was a much closer call. Penny was from a, shall we say, privileged background. She'd gone to finishing school in Italy, in Tuscany, in about 1937, 38, something like that, only a year or two before the start of the war. And she, in consequence, she has a very good ear, spoke really good Italian, really flawless Italian. So during the war, she was working as really effectively a secretary at the Italian section of the BBC, which was in the Aldwych at the time. And she was on a bus going to work. And she was on the Strand, the western part of the Strand. And she suddenly remembered, oh my goodness, day after tomorrow is Auntie Queenie's birthday and I haven't got her a card. And she jumped off the bus and ran into the shop to get a card. Well, the bus trundled along toward the Aldwych. Penny was in the shop. And 250 yards along, the bus was hit by, I don't think Penny knows whether it was a V2 or a V1, but, you know, 30, 40 people were killed. Now, had she not got off that bus, she would have been one of the victims. And in consequence, Mary wouldn't have come along, and much closer to our time, our children wouldn't have born. So that was Penny's experience. Now, Mary's dad, the legendary BBC producer, Charles Chilton. The Telegraph profiled him 10 years ago or so, and they described him as the one true genius the BBC ever produced. Anyway, he joined the BBC as a 14-year-old messenger boy. The BBC was in its infancy. It was just a couple years old. Rose through the ranks to become, yeah, the one true genius the BBC ever produced. But toward the start of the war, he hadn't been at the BBC that long. I suppose he was in his early 20s. And the BBC, like just about every other important building in World War II during the Blitz, they mounted a fire watch because the first ordnance that was dropped would be firebombs to try to illuminate the targets. And then they came along the second wave with the heavy stuff. So he and seven or eight others were up on the roof of the BBC broadcasting house. And this one was hit by a big bomb, not firebombs, but a big bomb. But it didn't go off, fortunately. Anyway, the man who was in charge of the group of seven or eight of them said, well, let's tie a rope around this and pull it over here. There's all this rubble. We've got to do something about this. And then he thought for a minute, and then he said, oh, Charles, maybe you should go down into the building and tell them to clear out, that we've got a bomb up here. And so that's what Charles did. And of course, what happened was that when they were moving it, the bomb exploded. It killed all of those who were up on the roof trying to manhandle it. That wasn't a good decision. And had Charles not been sent down into the building to clear people out, put the word out, he would have been one of the victims of that explosion. And then his second close call, because he went into the RAF, and because he knew about radio, the role they gave him was to train RAF personnel, airmen, in how to use radios. And they were on one of these missions, and it was an old slow plane. They were out over the North Sea, and suddenly they saw coming toward them a Messerschmitt, a German fighter plane, going at great speed, and it shot by them, and then they watched it, and then to their horror, it turned back, and came toward them, and they all thought, this is it. He's going to shoot us down. We've got seconds to live. And it came past them and then looped around and then made a run at them. And, of course, yeah, their hearts were in their mouths. And he then flew by them. And as he flew by very close, the Luftwaffe pilot, the German pilot, smiled, grinned at them, and waved. And basically waved goodbye, and then he was on his way to across the channel to occupied France. So he didn't pull the trigger. He didn't shoot them down. He could have done easily. He didn't. But again, had that plane been shot down, Charles would have been killed. Well, Mary wouldn't exist, and our children wouldn't exist. So that's a personal World War II, close to home front story. Okay, thanks.